Oh, hi, podcast listeners, and welcome back to the Giraffe Feels podcast. If you have not heard episode one yet, please check it out. It's about Castlevania 3. I got a new mic recently, so hopefully the sound quality on this episode is improved. Please get in touch if you like the podcast or have ideas or comments. Social media coordinates can be found at the end of the episode. Also, we are now on iTunes. There should be a link in the show notes if you want to subscribe. Please rate the podcast and give it a review too. I hear that's super important. This episode is about Mega Man 2, but we're also going to talk about 3 and 4 a little bit, and there'll be a brief cameo from 1. Mega Man was a big part of my adolescence. I love the Mega Man series, and I have a lot of memories that I really hold close to my heart about them. So join me, won't you, on episode 2 of the Giraffe Feels podcast. Like so many others, it seems, the Mega Man series came into my life when Mega Man 2 came out. Someone in my neighborhood did own Mega Man 1, but the cover looked really dorky. Capcom did a pretty bad job with their American game covers back then. Even when Mega Man 2 came out, I was pretty confused. Is Mega Man a robot or a person? A cyborg? According to Wikipedia, Mega Man is officially an android. You know, like Data. Except he looks like a human, kind of. And Data, I guess Data kind of does too, but you know what I mean, like he still kind of looks like a human. We also never bothered with Mega Man 1, because the friend that had that game also had an original Megatron Generation 1 toy that still turns into a gun, you know, back when you could do that. He always had it pointed right at where you walked into the room, and it totally creeped me out every time I came in. Often I just wanted to get out of there. When someone did get a copy of Mega Man 2, the hype took over our neighborhood. We would sit at his house in the morning and watch him play. I wasn't allowed to play, for reasons I will explain when we do an episode on The Legend of Zelda. And I sat mesmerized by what seemed at the time to be a rather epic side-scroller that took ages to play. When I see people play the game in under an hour now, it still shocks me. Over what was probably a week, this friend got to Dr. Wily's stage, but he got stuck at the point where you need to use the crash bombs on the sensors. I still have trouble with that level. I asked, as always, if I could try the game and was told no way. When I was a kid, one set of my grandparents lived with us. My grandfather died when I was pretty young. We used to go to flea markets together. He brought me my first Transformer and was really nice. But he had a lot of health issues. My grandmother stayed with us until she died when I was about to turn 12. This was about a year after what we talked about in our previous episode about Castlevania 3. Grandma had been a stay-at-home mother all of her life. She loved to spend money on us kids, though. We were a solid middle-class home, but both my parents worked really hard for that. Her health issues were pretty hushed at the time, but I have a feeling she knew that she only had a few years left, and wanted to really see us kids happy. We would go to the Toys R Us a few towns over and pick out a new game when it was featured in Nintendo Power. This particular friend that had already gotten Mega Man 2, if he got a game and wouldn't let me play, my grandmother would go get it for me with my mom. He was a jerk, and his parents were too. I have a lot of memories of his mother being very rude to my mother, because I quote-unquote got extra help in Resource Room, with the implication that it was some kind of cheating. He did turn me onto Slayer and Metallica before they hit the mainstream, though. I woke up the day after he got stuck in Dr. Wily's stage and headed over there in the morning. He was still at it, but I went outside to play basketball with his sister. Suddenly, I heard a triumphant yes! He had beaten the stage. I went home for lunch. I wasn't allowed to stay for lunch either, which looking back was really awkward, and I just kind of didn't notice. And my mother used to ask me all the time about it, and I just like, yeah, they told me to go home. And I guess this was an issue. So I went home, and I found a brand new copy of Mega Man 2 sitting on my bed. I called my friend, and he was oddly excited for me, and told me to drop by later and let him know how far I got. This surprised me a lot, but it was pretty cool nonetheless. I don't remember how far I got into Mega Man 2 that day, but I did have notes from what I remembered of the order that my friend had gone in. Generally, I start with Flashman, although that level can be a little tricky, and then go from there based on whose weapons will hurt the next boss. After a few years of watching others play Nintendo so much, I was happy every time I got a game of my own. I spent time that summer playing the game and eventually beat it, when I figured out, through a lot of trial and error, to use Bubble Man's weapon on Dr. Wily, I felt quite triumphant. When I remembered to use it during my playthrough on the Mega Man Legacy Collection, I felt the same feeling. The soundtrack to Mega Man 2 was amazing. In general, Mega Man games had great music, but Mega Man 2 really sets the bar high with levels like Woodman, Flashman, the very intense Heat Man, and the silken jazzy Bubble Man. I have so many memories directly connected to individual beats in various tracks and places and levels. Mega Man 2 is still one of my favorite video games. I replayed it recently as part of the Mega Man Legacy Collection, which puts together the first 6 games plus a ton of extras. It's well worth picking up. While the first Mega Man borders on excessively difficult, Mega Man 2 still, in 2016, feels just right, and is both fun and challenging. This playthrough I struggled with Quick Man's stage because of those heat beams you have to dodge. I used to be so good at doing that, but this time it took me probably 15 times to try to get it right. Nevertheless, I kept at it and eventually got through. The bottom line with Mega Man 2 is that it's fun. I like challenging games, but I like fun ones even more. Each of the 8 stages was compelling in its own way. I still feel quite accomplished when I gently glide through Bubble Man's stage. I can hop the clouds in Air Man's level from deeply ingrained memories. Quick Man is so tough until you realize that Flash Man's weapon will cut his health in half. The coolest part about Mega Man 2 is having to fight all 8 bosses again. As a kid, this absolutely blew my mind. It seemed so grandiose and daring to essentially make someone go through the game again. This was before games like Super Ghouls and Ghosts a few years later, of course. I remember the first time I blew through it because I knew which weapon to use. It's pretty amusing that Metal Man is weakest to, well, Metal Man. The game also tricks you into thinking you've beaten Dr. Wily, but there's one more form to go through, the one where you use Bubble Man's weapon. The silence in that level made my heart race as a kid. It seemed so ominous. I didn't like Mega Man 3 when it came out. I got it new, excited after a feature in Nintendo Power, but only played for a few days before shelving it. I found the game to be unreasonably hard in general, and once I got frustrated, I gave up. Quickly, the series was running out of credible names for villains, too. Hard Man and Top Man, even though I really enjoy their music, just seemed ridiculous. My attention was definitely veering more towards games like Castlevania and Final Fantasy, which came out that summer and became a big game for me and my friends in the coming year. I didn't actually play Mega Man 4 until the Mega Man Legacy Collection came out. There are definitely some rough parts in it, but I enjoyed it. The Cold War aesthetic and storyline seemed a bit random, even if pertinent to the time period. I love the weather effects and how rain and snow impact the game. These days that is so normal, but there was a time when it felt pretty revolutionary. I really appreciate as an adult how each Mega Man game tries different stuff. Mega Man 3 had the ability to slide, which is super useful in Mega Man 4. That game also adds the charged up blaster, which some have argued is a little too useful. I didn't feel like I abused it in my playthrough though. If you love these games or want to check them out, the Mega Man Legacy Collection is a great place to start. I bought it on my PS4, but I wish I'd gotten it for my 3DS. These games are totally made for a handheld device. Again, the Draft Feels podcast is written, edited, produced, and performed by William Wend. You can follow me on Twitter at WPWEND. Giraffe Feels Pod is the username to follow on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We also have a YouTube page that is linked on the website. I just put a video of me playing and dying a lot in Mighty No. 9 for about an hour the other day. Check that out if you're curious about the game. In a minute, we'll have a bonus segment where I offer some brief thoughts about it. Subscribe via RSS, SoundCloud, or on iTunes. Links are on the website. Make sure you rate and review the podcast. I've already rewritten the podcast schedule 3 times, so just subscribe and new content will come to you. The current plan is to have new episodes at the beginning and middle of the month. Please remember to check out our first episode, which was about Castlevania 3. I hope you can hear an improvement in quality because of the new microphone I bought. We're going to hold off on the Valkyria Chronicles episode for a little bit. I just submitted an abstract to an academic conference where I want to give a paper about the game. If that gets accepted, which I should hear back, the deadline was sometime last week, so I should hopefully hear back pretty soon. What I want to do is actually create a podcast of my paper and put it into the feed, and then I can show it to people at the conference as well. I did that with a paper that I wrote about Buffy the Vampire Slayer a couple years ago, and it was pretty well received. Hang out for a little bit on Valkyria Chronicles. It's gonna be great. I've been writing notes and, you know, collecting things about the game, doing screen grabs and getting videos, and it's gonna be really cool. So, thanks for listening, and hopefully you will check out our current and previous episodes, and in a minute, we'll have some additional thoughts on Mighty No. 9. Alright, see ya! Okay, I'll only take a minute or two here, because I'm getting ready for the Mystery Science Theater reunion tonight. The theater that does the simulcast by me for Riff Tracks is literally right down the road, about 5 minutes away. Which is pretty awesome, because the next closest one is about an hour away or so. So let me get right into this. Mighty No. 9, I don't like it. It doesn't feel like a Mega Man game at all. I keep reading people saying that it's much more like Mega Man X and a lot of those later games than the classic games, and that looking at, I never played those games. But generally, the game is very disappointing. I found the bosses to be very difficult and confusing. Nothing that works in classic Mega Man games seems to work with these bosses. The levels of difficulty bounce up and down in levels in ways that are absolutely insufferable, and particularly for a game made in 2016. Generally, given all of the hype, and, you know, for what it's worth, the whole culture around Kickstarter does add this unreasonable, quite frankly, amount of hype and criticism to things, but still, nevertheless, given that you had the people that were involved with this, honestly, I tend to wonder why this game was even made, because it doesn't really feel like what it was supposed to be at all, and that's pretty much a bum out. I just got it from Gamefly. I played it for a couple of days in the afternoon and did not like it. I did stream it one day. There's a video on our YouTube page you can go check out if you want to watch me die a lot for like an hour and just kind of get frustrated and give up in the middle of a fight. I am hearing from some people that are really liking it. You know, don't necessarily take my word ever as some kind of final word. That would be a grave mistake. And that's going to wrap up this episode, so hopefully you enjoyed it. Please let me know, and I'll talk to you soon.